Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Today is Tuesday, March the 10th, 2015. March is an interesting month. As you may know, my wife and I have 8 children. And so there's 10 of us, and 5 of our birthdays are in March. So this is a busy and broke month for me, as you can imagine. Let's get right into it here. As you also know, I don't do these radio shows very, very often, which a lot of you are complaining about, and rightfully so, because I should be more consistent, and I do apologize. Right now it says I have about 100,054 listeners. So I want to make sure that I am taking care of everyone here. And abusing my privileges here and my to have you guys be listeners. So let's get right into it here. I am going to be talking today about a 6 series of embracing the age of mobility. Right. So most people realize that. Mobility is definitely something that is going to be a topic of discussion that is not going to decrease. Let's just say that, you know, and I'm going to be talking about 6 different things here that will put this at the forefront of our brains here. And the reason why I'm pausing here, because I hear an echo somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. I'll keep going. Let me close some of these windows here. Bear with me, folks. I'm just trying to, there it is. I see it. Boom. There we go. All right, so now I can not sound all weird and be pausing and stuff, right? Okay, so let's just dive right into it here. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of mobility, okay? There are a lot of advantages of mobility in today's workforce, but, you know, the bring-your-own-device movement has also brought its shares of headaches as well. You know, we do live in a society where everyone must have the newest technology. I mean, I don't know of anyone right now that doesn't have a cell phone, a mobile phone. When I remember when those mobile phones came out, mine cost me almost, I don't know how much it cost, but it was about $500 a month to keep it on, which I barely could afford. You know, we're just inundated with ads that remind us that the smartphone or the tablet we just bought a year ago is laughably outdated already. You know, and it's inferior to the upgrade. That just hit the market like 6 months ago. Droid is really, really good for that. You know, Apple is starting to become more good, of that way as well. You know, people who just bought these devices, they don't want to have to set aside to use a separate company device too in order to stay productive at work. So as a result, businesses are beginning to grant their employees to use their own devices at work. You know, for things like email, especially, you know, any databases that they need access to, any particular applications, and apps are a huge thing. And I'm going to be doing a series on that as well, on apps, how they will basically take over the world, it seems. You know, this does bring creative advantages, but it naturally also carries a lot of risks too, especially for the healthcare and the banking industry. You know, healthcare has data that never really, really changes. Social security numbers, date of birth, things of that nature. That kind of information is very valuable to an attacker. And, you know, cyber terrorism is on the march. You know, cybersecurity, the president does a speech about it in his a State of the Union address. You know, it's at the forefront. And the two biggest targets right now are the financial institutions and healthcare. I met with a really, really great company yesterday named nCino, the letter N-C-I-N-O. They're doing some really great things in cloud banking. And I told them I thought they would be the Wells Fargo of the cloud banking, the way they're doing it. I don't want to give away anything that they don't want me to say, but you can check them out at nCino.com, www.NCino.com. And we're going to try to work together and do some things to provide some thought leadership. Maybe I'll have them on the show, maybe Jonathan or Armstead or Ryle on the show, or somebody on the show, and they can talk a little bit about what they're doing, and you make the decision. A lot of people are under the assumption that having everything on premise is the safest way, but that's really not the case when you think about how secure data centers are these days with data. But anyway, I don't want to get off track. I want to get back to this mobile thing here, and let's just talk about the advantages of a BYOD. You know, you get greater flexibility and productivity with it, right? I mean, personal devices allow workers from more flexibility, which in turn can increase productivity. You know, today's employees, they're not restricted to their office anymore or their cubicles. You know, they carry out job responsibilities from home, a coffee shop, the children's dance. I mean, if I could actually patent that look. I told my kids this because they all have phones, right, these iPhones and stuff. And we're an Apple family. Everything in our house is an Apple, okay? So, you can call me an Apple elitist. I don't, you know, I've been using it for 30-something years. But anyway, that look of people bending, having their heads bent down, and you know what they're looking at. They're looking at a mobile device on an app, playing a game, reading their emails, working. You know, what boss does not want their employees working when they don't have to ask them to work? They do it on their own. Well, by giving them the flexibility of using their own device to access the information, you can do that. You know, you're going to reduce your cost by doing that. Purchasing even the most basic smartphone for an employee can cost anywhere from $900 or so, okay? Costs like that can be completely eliminated by adopting a good BYOD policy, bring your own device policy, where employees are required to use their own device. You say, well, you know, how do you mesh the data of the company with the data of the employee? You know, you don't want to get things mixed up. Well, that's where you get a good mobile device management tool. You know, another company that I have been looking at is Maas 360, M-A-A-S 360. They have a very, very good tool. Another company that's for very basic MDM, GFI, I think they changed their name, and a really good company for the SMB market space is really AVG, believe it or not. AVG, Managed Workplace, or CloudCare, I think they call it. They have bought a company called Level Platforms, and it is an incredible organization, and I'm going to be partnering up with them as well to try to help customers find the right solutions that are customer vendor aligned. They provide good IT governance and rock solid data security. You know, everybody knows that a happy employee, just like a happy wife makes a happy life, right? Well, happy employees do the same thing. You know, the happier your employees are, you attract better job seekers. You know, recent studies actually have found that 44% of job seekers are attracted more to employees who are open to BYOD and occasional remote work. Why is this? People want flexibility. They don't want to feel like they're living in this age, especially millennials. They don't want to feel like they're living in this age of stuffy, cramped, you know, dictatorships. They want to be more – and businesses are starting to realize that, hey, this actually works. This gets more productivity out of people. So let's do this a little bit more. You know, beyond this hiring advantage over competition, it also finds that employees as a whole are generally happier using the devices they own and prefer for their work purposes. You know, if you force someone to use something and they don't really like it, and you're forcing them to use it, that's not going to make for a very amenable relationship. But if they have something that they go, okay, here's the credentials to get to the data, to your email, blah, 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 blah. Here's our BYOD policy. You know, when you come on site, you know, you're going to connect to this, you're going to do that. And you give more flexibility. You tell that employee, hey, I really care about you, and I want you to understand that we want you to be happy. And in the back end, they're going to perform better for you, and you're going to get a greater revenue stream in your business overall, you know. BYOD, another advantage is better customer service. This goes hand in hand with more flexibility and productivity. Mobility allows employees to occasionally resolve or escalate urgent client issues outside of normal working hours. 20 years ago, you would have never heard of that being happening, you know? And clients remember that kind of response time. They go, wow, I called them on a Sunday and they took care of me. And I know I do. Whenever I have a problem, if I can reach somebody on some odd hours, because I really don't sleep, my wife tells me. If I can work with somebody at some really odd hours and get things done, I'm going to remember that company. I'm going to be completely loyal to that company. Okay, so those are some of the advantages. And remember, this is a 6-part series, so I'm going to go through a lot of things here over 6 different shows. Maybe I'll break it down into 2 or 3 shows so I can get it all in this week. But let's talk about the disadvantages of BYOD. You know, compromised data security, that's at the top of the heap. You know, especially in the banking and the healthcare, security, privacy of information, that's at the top of the heap. I talk to banking executives all the time and other financial executives and healthcare executives all the time, and the number one priority is security and business continuity. Those are the number two. I mean, they go hand in hand. You know, you can't have one without the other. But compromised data security is, you know, letting employees use their own smartphone, tablets, and laptops is going to increase the likelihood of sensitive company information or even client data being compromised. How do you control that? You know, it's important for companies to establish a comprehensive mobile device security policy and never make any exceptions to it whatsoever. Really, none. You can't have data that close together, okay? Personal employee device, company, client data. How do you separate the two? How do you balance it out? How do you cut costs? A mobile device solution, a mobile device management solution is really, really going to be your – number one, you're going to have a good bring-your-own-device policy. You need to have a policy, written policy. And then that policy needs to exceed from a piece of paper or a document or electronic document. Your IT department needs to implement strategies that ensure that you enforce those policies without – killing the culture of your employee culture, but you really don't have any exceptions to this ever, at all. I don't even care if it's the CEO. You never want to have this exception. The way I see it is that government regulations are going to require this at some point, or they're going to require you to buy a company-owned device, and then you're going to, you know, it's going to clash against your good culture that you've taken so many years to build. You know, the other thing employees worry about is when using their own device is employee privacy. You know, they don't want to know what you're doing on Facebook, what they're doing on Facebook. They don't want you to know what they're doing personally. They don't want to tell you about how they like to go drinking and partying. They don't want any of that stuff to be a part of their work life, and that's rightfully so. You know, many employees may choose they may oppose using their own device for work, especially if it's a company requirement that they aren't reimbursed for. You know, why should I use my device and on my time, and you're not going to pay me for it? Well, there's strategies to overcome that as well. You know, you can use, pay them a little bit, pay all of it, do a hybrid of such, whatever the case may be. That's going to be completely up to you, but that needs to be written down in your policy somewhere. You know, you have to remember that these are the same devices employees use to log on to their Facebook and Twitter accounts and do some online banking even. You know, in this age of constant paranoia over Big Brother, and you know my stance on Big Brother, watching our every move, I don't believe that Big Brother is a bad thing, okay? We'll get into that. I think it's Big Bully. You know, your Big Brother is something that should be good. I'm a Big Brother, so I kind of take offense to Big Brother being negative. I take care of my siblings. You know, Big Bully is the thing, but I won't get into that either. But, you know, employees may be concerned that their employer will spy on them or access their personal passwords and information, which is illegal, by the way. Now, of course, if it's your data, it's not illegal. It's completely your data. But the right balance of this is a good BYOD policy and a good MDM tool. You know, so that's another negative disadvantage you have to deal with. You know, another disadvantage is handling employee turnover. How do you do that? you know, I have a white paper out there called it's called Now You See It, There It Stays. In other words, when you give employees access to data, do they take that data with them when they leave? You know, how do you manage that? You know, again, same two things I've been preaching about, BYOD and MDM, okay? Companies must consider how they will address the retrieval of company data and information from an employee's device if the employee ever quits or is fired or just, you know, leaves or retires, whatever the case may be. Some companies may require that employees only save and edit company files on their servers or use cloud-based sharing software like Dropbox or to share and edit documents. Well, Dropbox is a whole other issue as well. We won't get into that today. But you have to have a way to do this that's not going to slow down your productivity of your employees, the efficiency of your employees, and also in cost of company money and time and labor intensiveness either. So there's a way to do that, and you start off with those two things, again, BYOD and MDM, okay? The importance of having a mobile device management tool is going to be something you're going to deal with. You're not going to get away from that, okay? You can try all you want to. You can think that, well, you know, we don't really need to worry about that. You may be kidding yourself. Finding a great mobile device management tool is going to be the key to your success and making sure that you don't receive a lawsuit from an employee or even a customer. If you're under any kind of compliance regulations for a HIPAA or Sarbanes-Oxley, whatever the case may be, for banking and healthcare, you know, you're not going to get away from this stuff, okay? So picking a good mobile device management tool, starting with a great, you know, bring your own device management policy. And now there's even a trend where people are bringing their own applications. So you bring your own app. You know, there's this commercial. I don't know if any of you ever watched Office Space where Lundberg, the boss, goes around going, yeah, you know, we got to take care of this on Sunday. And he's got his cup of coffee and he's going around just, you know, ticking everybody off with, hey, you know, did you get the memo and, you know, see what we're doing is we're putting these reports on, blah, blah, blah. But that commercial is talking about, I forget what the app is, but it's a tool that employees can use that has nothing to do with the company. You don't have to even buy it as a company. It's just an app that employees can use to communicate and collaborate with each other and get things done. Well, what boss is going to say, hey, you can't use that tool because it's not a part of our enterprise application set, tool set, when employees are actually getting work done? You know, who's going to stop them from doing that? So you want to encourage your employees and your team to work on at any time they want to, anywhere they want to, because the truth of the matter is most employees, most people that work in an organization want to do good. They want to do the right thing. They want to take care of the company. They want to keep their jobs. So they're going to find ways to do things better, and you can pretty much kiss an on-premise data center and your office goodbye. I mean, there's no need for it nowadays, and it's less secure, believe it or not. You might say, well, Manuel, you're crazy. How in the world can the cloud be more secure than having it right here? Well, somebody's always at a data center 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, these things are regulated by the government. These people have their reputations on the line for damage control, for lawsuits, the whole nine yards. They're going to make doggone well sure that that place is secure. When you leave your office building and all your employees are gone, the only person there is a security guard. That place burns down. That place gets broken into. That place gets broken into and someone just steals the data. You're never going to know it. The average hacker is probably sitting inside of your system for almost a year before they actually do anything. And you never know that. That's not really going to happen. The likelihood of that happening compared to the likelihood of in a data center in the cloud compared to the likelihood of it happening in your on-premise is like night and day. I'm not saying it's 100% sure that a cloud platform will never be broken into or hacked. However, the likelihood of it being hacked versus on-premise, the on-premise will be hacked much faster, okay? You're getting this thing now where telecom companies and cable companies, anybody who hosts some type of internet connectivity, they're getting into the point now where they're looking at each other going, do we merge? Do I buy you? Do you buy me? How do we come together here? Because everything is coming to a head like the head of a triangle here, where you have the 10 major components of technology, if you will. They all center around three different types of networks, okay, and really just one. But the three that I would identify is the actual internet itself, your intranet, your local area network, whether it be on one location or multiple locations connected by some kind of protocol, an encryption like triple DES, AES, whatever the case may be, and your extranet, your supplier and partner connectivity, how you actually make orders, your supply chains and things of that nature. Those are the three major networks that everything is centered around in today's business arena, even in personal with social media. Those are the three networks that you can not get away from. Everyone's using the internet, 98% probably. Anybody in business, 100% has an intranet. There's not a business that I know of that's not using some type of internal network, okay? And you're connecting privately and securely, at least you think, because I think that the word securely over the internet is an oxymoron. That's something we can get into another time. But you're going to use some kind of extranet, they call it. So those are the three major networks, and there's 10 components within each one of those. There's your infrastructure itself, that's your hardware, your software, and your facilities, okay? The connectivity, your data lines, okay? Your mobility, your performance, and your business continuity, okay? Then you have within that, you have service databases, IT client devices, networking components, and telephony. That's the picture of any business today, especially those of traditional needs. Having an on-premise network is going to be fine, in my opinion, up until the point of where the data sits, right? So your data is either in motion or at rest, just like anything else. I call it the in motion data blood flow, right? And I call the data that's sitting at rest, I call it money, okay? So you go to a bank, you go to get money. The money's not moving anywhere. Well, some would argue that banks use your money without telling you about it, but whatever, we won't get into that. But the money's there. You go to an ATM, you go to a bank, you withdraw it, you use it for what you want. The data in motion is the data that keeps the business alive. You know, Susie emails Bob. Bob downloads from a server, and it's always moving and constantly moving from one point to the other. And those points, those three networks are the three different points that they move from. So they're either moving across the internet, across your local area network, or across your partner networks, okay? How do you control that in today's age of I got to have a mobile device, a tablet, a phone, a smaller laptop, you know, a faster laptop? I am working in a coffee shop. I'm working at home. I'm at my babysitter. I'm my child's yesterday when I was two of my sons my younger boys play basketball, and we went to their award ceremony, and there was a guy juggling, and he was doing he had a really great spirit. He was a good fellow, but I wasn't really interested in that juggling. So I whipped out my phone and I was working. You know, the thing that I have though is I have a tool that I use called IP Vanish, which is a VPN tool that cloaks where I am. So even though I'm sitting there in Wilmington, North Carolina, an attacker may think that I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and they may go to some honeypot of data that's not even real. And if they run into my invention called Jacobi, then they're going to get counterattacked, and it's going to destroy their system. Jacobi is something I will be talking about, especially this year. It's something that I think that will revolutionize data at rest and data in transport. So anyway, so I'm rambling on about all of this stuff, and I'm gonna talk more about it in the next five series. As a matter of fact, the next series will be why businesses must proactively address the threat of mobile hacks. I recently saw something about, you know, because us Apple people think that we can't get hacked, right? That's not true. We just don't have the we're not as ubiquitous as Windows right now. So that's the only reason why I think. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons. That's not the only reason. So Apple people don't get on me for that. But I saw where these Apple hacks are happening now. These hacks for iPhone, hacks for the Mac computer. God knows they've been going on forever with Windows devices. So you can rest assured that mobile phones will be getting malware and viruses, and some of them already are, as far as I know. This never happened to me and or any of my clients, but it is a possibility now, and you're going to have to address that. So the way you do that is, how do you know which devices are out there? You know, a lot of times you don't even know when an employee comes in. They already know the password to the wireless. You gave it to them, you know. So they come in and they log in and they use their own device. They can be taken data. There's no way in the world, that our government should have ever let Eric Snowden get away with that much data without knowing about it. So either they knew about it and this is all a ruse, you know, and they're bamboozling us, or they didn't know about it and they're incompetent. There's no way in the world that data in motion or even data at rest that can be, and those amounts that he took should have ever been taken. No one is that smart. No one is that smart, okay? I know Snowden would like to think that he's that smart, so either they let him get away with that, or we just had he had incompetent policies put in place. Well, through this series, I'm going to share with you how to make sure you know when that data is moved, just like the GPS tracking on works. You will know when data is at rest, when it moves, what happens to it, when it happens, how it happens, the whole nine yards. Starting with a good BYOD policy and an MDM tool is going to help. So now when people come in to your office space and they're looking to get on your wireless network, they're not going to just be able to get on without having to be baptized, if you will, or scan through using this mobile device management tool that sets precedence of what they can and cannot do. All right, so listen, I'm going to wrap this up right now. I just want to say, you know, that obviously businesses, you know, they must keep track of all the devices that access their server, their applications, their data. Mobile device management can help that, okay? It can help centralize enterprise applications, enterprise data in a somewhat, you know, chaotic hodgepodge of devices and operating systems. This is going to ensure that all the devices are configured, this mobile device management tool, deployed and properly monitored and managed. This is a smart way for businesses to embrace BYOD while securing data applications across multiple devices, a mobile device management. Listen, I'm running out of time. The ladies already told me this is only a 30-minute show here. My name is Manuel Lloyd. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. If you're not, please search me on LinkedIn, Manuel, M-A-N-U-E-L, Lloyd. Facebook, Twitter, or you can go to my website if you want to chat with me and just go to MWLconsulting.com, MWLconsulting.com, and there's a little button there that says chat, and you can start a chat session, and we can talk. And if you need me to come in and just talk to you at your office, just send me an email, manuel@mwlconsulting.com, manuel@mwlconsulting.com. Hope you guys have a great week, and thank you so much for tuning in. Have a blessed day.